Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum. Celebrate the opening of I Saw It, Francisco de Goya Printmaker, with an evening of live music, art making, live model drawing, tours, and more. Saturday, April 20th from 4 to 6:30 p.m. Info at nortonsimon.org.
I'm Julia Paskin. Join me as I talk with NPR's Sarah McCammon about her new book, The Ex-Evangelicals, Loving, Living, and Leaving the White Evangelical Church. That's April 25th at the Crawford. Tickets at las.com/events.
We continue here on Air Talk with our daily COVID-19 update, where we bring you the latest news and headlines on COVID-19 and the vaccine and now the reopening. With me today is one of our regular experts, Dr. Timothy Brewer, epidemiologist and professor of medicine at UCLA's School of Public Health. He served on advisory boards of the World Health Organization, the National Institutes of Health, and the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Welcome, Dr. Brewer.
Good morning. How are you?
Really good, thanks. So Cal OSHA has voted in favor of relaxed mask rules for vaccinated people in workplaces. I actually forgot to put on my mask when I ran to the restroom before we started today's show, and I went, oops, but I don't know. Maybe that was okay. I haven't heard from HR yet. What do you make from this ruling?
I think the real challenge is it puts businesses in the very difficult position of making public health decisions, and I think that's really unfair to them. We know that the vaccines work. We know that they prevent infections, not 100%, but they reduce the risk of infection and transmission. But a business shouldn't have to be figuring out, do I require everyone to wear a mask? Do I not? Do I screen people for whether or not they've been vaccinated? And if so, how do I do that? I think OSHA is just kind of punting their responsibilities, and I don't think that's fair.
Well, you're saying it does seem to shift the burden to businesses to decide. But what if businesses say, hey, everybody masks off unless you're unvaccinated, and I can't ask you if you're unvaccinated? And so are they creating a heightened risk for unvaccinated people who meet each other and they're not masked?
Probably not. Now in California, just because our risk of transmission is so low. We're under 1,300 cases a day. Our test positivity is under 1%. We've fully vaccinated almost 57% of the adult population. Another 10% has been partially vaccinated, and about 20% of the population probably has immunity from infection, according to CDC data. So we're probably sitting around herd immunity, at least for the adult population eligible for vaccination.
Well, and so if people are unvaccinated still, and obviously they're now in a minority, will they need to continue wearing masks, and should they?
Well, they probably should, because while the risk is low, it's not zero. And COVID can have very serious consequences. So this is a disease, while the majority of people have asymptomatic or mild infection, there is a minority that can end up in the hospital and severely ill or even die from this disease. So you should definitely get vaccinated if you haven't been. And if you're not going to be vaccinated, you should be wearing a mask when you're in public indoor settings. Really no risk from being outside, though, particularly if you're maintaining your physical distancing.
So COVID's not over. Now, listeners, if you have questions for Dr. Brewer, you'd like to weigh in on the state's updated workplace masking guidance, we welcome your calls. 866-893-5722. Has your employer decided how it's going to proceed with masking in the workplace? And if you're an employer, do you plan to lift mask requirements in the workplace? Call us at 866-893-5722. Now, as a healthcare worker, how do you feel about the state's reopening? Are you happy to have a respite, or are you concerned for potential of outbreaks?
No, I think it's the right step at this time. So as I said, if you look at the percentage of the adult population that's been vaccinated or previously infected, we're really probably in a good position to prevent major outbreaks of the kind that we had back in January, for example, where at that time we were having about 45,000 new cases a day. However, we probably will continue to have this low-level background transmission going on. And so it will be important for all of us to continue to take measures like getting vaccinated to protect ourselves and others.
You laughed a little bit when I suggested that you might be feeling respite. What was the source of your laughter there?
So when I was in the hospital taking care of COVID patients over Martin Luther King weekend, across our two hospitals, we had 200 patients with COVID-19 disease. Every single patient I saw was critically ill, but I'm an infectious disease specialist, so I'm only going to see the sickest ones. When I was on in April, we had three COVID patients across our two hospitals. So that gives you a sense of the difference between when we were in the full outbreak wave of this pandemic and where we are now. So we're in a much better position now than we were previously.
Well, I can definitely see that is a relief. But for every single person who's in the hospital with a case of COVID, that's a very serious illness. I mean, there's an entire pyramid of people behind that person who's being affected. So even though our numbers are low, every single incidence of this illness is really serious. Let's go to Joel. Joel is a business owner, and he's got a question for us. Joel from Mar Vista, what's your question there?
Yeah, I run a business, a staff of 30, and masks in the office don't work because people have to be on the phone with customers. I've got at least one staff member who's had COVID and says that he's immune enough and doesn't want to be vaccinated. What do I do?
So, Joel, I think what I would do is try to encourage that person to talk with their healthcare provider. So while, yes, they will have immunity from previous COVID-19 infection, what we do know is that if that person does get vaccinated, they in fact have an enhanced response to the vaccine and get an even higher level of protection. So what I might suggest is that you say, gee, maybe you can sit down with your healthcare provider and find out, does it make sense to get vaccinated? Because it likely probably does.
Well, would Joel be in good standing to require that one person to wear a mask while everybody else walks around without masks?
So my understanding is the CDC is allowing Joel to make that decision, but he might want to confirm it with the local public health department and ask. I suspect the risk is very low in this previously infected person, but if he felt more comfortable for the rest of his employees and that was consistent with county guidelines, then yes, that would not be unreasonable.
Well, thank you, Joel, for your question. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back with more with Dr. Timothy Brewer, taking your questions, 866-893-5722. Air Talk. I'm Sharon McNary, in for Larry Mantle today. I'm here with Air Talk regular Dr. Timothy Brewer, epidemiologist and professor of medicine at UCLA's School of Public Health. And we're also taking your questions relating to COVID at 866-893-5722. You can also tweet at Air Talk or leave a comment on the Facebook page. I wanted to read a comment from from Linda from Santa Fe Springs. She says, if I took the first dose of a COVID vaccine and missed my appointment for my second one by 2 weeks, how do you go about getting the second dose? Does she need to totally restart her treatment, or can she just go ahead and just get a second dose? She got her first one at a pop-up vaccination site, so that one might not be available for her.
So Linda all you need to do is just get the second dose. So you don't have to restart over. So there are actually data coming out, particularly with the Pfizer and AstraZeneca vaccines, that delaying the second dose does not affect the effectiveness of the vaccine. And in fact, you may even get an enhanced immune response. So talk with your healthcare provider, go on myturn.ca.gov, reach out to either of those sites to find a way to get your second dose, because you will want to get that second dose. It will boost your immune response and your protection to the SARS-CoV-2 virus.
And should she worry if she can't get a dose of the same vaccine she got originally, or are all the vaccines equally available? How does she know she gets the right stuff?
Sure. So she should have gotten a card, a CDC vaccination card that will tell her whether or not she got the Pfizer or the Moderna vaccine. In the United States, the FDA is still recommending that you get your second dose of whatever your first dose was. So if you got Moderna, then your second dose should be Moderna. There are data from other countries, particularly the UK, to suggest that mixing vaccines does work, but we do not recommend that in the United States. So she should look at her card and try to schedule an appointment to get the same vaccine that she got her first dose with.
I hope she gets that second dose and gets the right one. So a new study in the UK found that there could be potential for long-term loss of brain tissue from COVID-19. Is this something you've heard of? What are your thoughts on this? And do we typically see that kind of brain tissue effect from viruses?
So this was a study done in the UK where they've been doing brain images on about 42,000 adults over the age of 45, and then following them to see what happens as they age over time. Then the pandemic came along, and they were able to identify about 780 people who had a second scan after the pandemic started and said, gee, let's look and see what happened to their brains. And in about roughly 400 patients who had COVID-19, they found that there were some changes in the parts of the brain that affect both your sense of taste and your sense of smell. I think it's a little too early to know exactly what that means, but it is an interesting finding. We do know there are a lot of viruses that can infect the brain. Herpes simplex virus is probably the most common that we see day to day. So it's not unusual for a virus to be able to get into the central nervous system.
Wow. Michelle from Mid-City has a question. She says, with all the restrictions removed for masks, we still have tourists coming in from other states that have lower rates of vaccination and I guess higher rates of COVID than California. Doesn't that pose a risk for those who are unvaccinated here? And how can we protect ourselves and our children who haven't been vaccinated yet?
So it certainly does pose a risk, and that's why it's important for anyone who's eligible to be vaccinated, and that's anyone 12 and older now. So we now are allowing vaccines down to the age of 12 to get vaccinated if they can. I would still recommend wearing a mask when you're indoors in public settings, particularly when you're going to be inside for longer periods of time or crowded situations. So remember, the CDC is still recommending masks for everybody, including people who've been vaccinated. If you're on public transportation, you're in places like train stations or airports, you're going to be at indoor concerts or other places where you're indoor with lots of other people.
And a very similar comment, Dodger Pilot tweets at AirTalk, says, my wife and I are both vaccinated. How likely are we to transmit the virus to our 12-month-old now with no more mask requirements or social distancing in place? We get that question a lot. Vaccinated parents, unvaccinated children, but boy, a 12-month-old.
Sure. Yeah, no, understandably concerned. And so the kinds of things you can do is you still can wear your mask. And so, for example, when I go to the supermarket, I still wear my mask, even though I've been fully vaccinated since early January. I also try to maintain my physical distancing, and I wash my hands when I come home. And so all of those steps will help to protect you. Now, should you get infected, the vaccines are very good at reducing the risk of infection and transmission. So it's not 100%, but depending on the data that you look at and the vaccine that you got, it's somewhere between 60 and 90%. And so that is very helpful. The final thing is, for whatever reason, we still don't completely understand, young children, particularly above the age of neonates, are less likely to get serious disease even when they get infected. So I think all of that bodes well for your 12-month-old, and hopefully soon we'll have data that will allow us to vaccinate even younger children.
Wow. Well, I like it that people are looking to the future. Kevin from Montebello asks, question went different. Somebody is asking about the need to get booster shots or future vaccinations in coming years. What's your take on that?
So you would need to get a booster for one of two reasons, either because your immune response was dropping over time, or because the virus had changed so much that the vaccine that you previously got no longer protects against the new variants. So far, neither of those situations has happened. So at least the data we have for vaccines is that while the immune response, the protective effect of the vaccine, does slowly decline over time, it remains at a high enough level, as far as we've followed it out, that you should still remain protected. And while we do have a number of new variants that are circulating both in the United States and around the world, so far, none of those variants have completely escaped the protective response generated by the vaccines that we use.
Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your day and your medical practice to educate all of us. Dr. Timothy Brewer, epidemiologist and professor of medicine at UCLA's School of Public Health, answering our COVID questions. We'll be back in just a little bit.
Support comes from Ciclavia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclavia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclavia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.